He's the voice of the valley. Hudson Valley Focus with Tom Sipas on The Beacon.
Yes, it is. Hudson Valley Focus on The Beacon at 10 minutes to 8 on this Tuesday morning. Oh, man, I went downstairs and my cell phone rang and I thought, hey, it's Bill Seppi giving me a call. And I found him wandering around loose in the building over there. So scoot right up to that microphone there, Mr. Bill Seppi. So, hey, you know, it's schools are back in session here in the next couple of days. So it would be about 65 years ago right now that you and I met out at the center out on Cross Road, because the New Arlington High School wasn't built yet, and or wasn't open yet. It was under construction, and we were in seventh grade, and the there was an overflow, so they made the deal with that Methodist church out there on Cross Road. And it was a very, very memorable seventh grade for us.
Yes. Yes. I remember the playing in the gravel parking lot.
Yeah.
Skin knees and throwing the football.
Yeah. And the little pond next door, we could go and get stuff out of there for science class, right? But it was a very, very memorable year. I mean, that was the fall of 1960 was the John F. Kennedy, Richard Nixon presidential election that year.
Oh, yeah. Huh.
We yes. had we were right at the beginning of the space race. We had so much happening that they would have the, you know, like a rocket launch and everything would stop while we would pay attention to that.
Yeah. It was a different time completely.
Sure was. And, of course, there was the kitchen downstairs, but there was no cafeteria, so we'd have to go down and get our food and bring it back up and sit at our desk, right?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. We made do. I think there were six classes, or at least five. There were one downstairs and four upstairs.
I think there were six. I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. So I had Mr. Jameson was my homeroom. Oh, that's right. The halls were narrow. So we stayed in the classroom and the teachers rotated.
And the teachers rotated. Yes. Yes, it was different. Yeah.
Well, of course, I don't know whether you remember this or not, but your dad and my dad were in school together out in Millbrook years and years earlier than that.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
I didn't know that. Huh.
Yep. And then I remember later on when your dad worked at the Wallace's department store in Poughkeepsie.
Oh, yeah. Yes. He was the manager of large appliances.
Mm-hmm. So, lots of years have passed by since then, and you're here to talk about the walkway over the Hudson, which we'll get to here eventually. But I just like taking these trips down memory lane personally.
Yes,
and
it sets the stage.
Yeah, exactly. Your mom was a teacher at the Trevor Oates School for years.
Yes, yes. Oh gosh, she taught kindergarten. I don't know how many years.
Yeah.
I know my brothers and I used to marvel. We'd run into a parent, and they would be bragging about how their kid loved Mississippi's class, and we were talking to each other and saying, who are they talking about?
Yeah. Well,
can't be our mother.
Yeah. But, yeah, so both my wife and her older sister, we were just talking about this, I think, yesterday. That, you know, your mom was Joanne's kindergarten teacher. But you, after graduating from Arlington, we were both in the class of 66, and you 66. Served in the Marines.
Yes. Yes, I was in the Marines for 4 years of active duty, yeah.
Where'd you see service?
Well, I was at Camp Lejeune for about a year and a half. I was on the rifle and pistol team. I went through data processing school. Back then, data processing was with punch cards.
Yeah.
And a 360 IBM computer. It took up a whole room. And I also went there to engineer school. I wanted to be a bulldozer mechanic, so I ended up teaching there for several months. And then eventually I was transferred back to Parris Island, where I worked in basically the base maintenance, DPW. I ran a bulldozer out on the dump. And then I was shipped off to Vietnam. It was Christmas of 68. Christmas Day, I landed in Vietnam. And I was there, I don't know, about 6 months, and we got pulled out. I didn't know it till afterwards. We were the first unit pulled out. We were up on the DMZ, and by pulling us out, it allowed the North Vietnamese to infiltrate. That was what the deal was. So we got pulled back to Okinawa, and I extended there. I was supposed to go home, and I said, no, it's pretty nice. Let's stay here.
I was only in Okinawa for a couple of days. Was it Kadena Air Base? Is that right?
Kadena, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I had come back home on leave in Thanksgiving of 1968 from Korea. And when I went back, I did a hop from here to San Francisco, and then San Francisco by way of Hawaii to Okinawa. And I had to stay on Okinawa until a day or so until I could get a hop from there to someplace in Japan, and then there down to Busan at the southern tip of South Korea. And I stayed there, and I found out that the people in the Air Force eat much better than it was an Air Force base. They eat much better than we did. And then I was able to get a flight on an old Air America twin-engine airplane up to Osan Air Force Base, halfway up Korea, and then from there I was able to take a bus all the way back up to Camp Casey, just below the DMZ in Korea. Stephen was already in Vietnam when I finished my advanced infantry training as an infantry rifleman.
Oh.
And so they didn't send the two brothers to the combat zone at the same time, unless you volunteered. And you and I both know that with Jimmy and Johnny Cook, that they both wound up there at the same time. And sadly, Jimmy was there first, and he told Johnny, you know, twin brothers. And he said to Johnny, don't come, don't come. And Johnny came, and sadly, you know, Johnny, one of our classmates, lost his life in Vietnam.
Hmm.
Quite the
history for our class.
Yeah. It's, I say, Bill Seppi, that people have every generation has something they have to deal with. And certainly for us, Vietnam was huge.
Yeah, oh yeah.
A huge part. And the civil unrest that was happening in the 60s. When I was in Fort Polk, Louisiana, in advanced infantry training, when Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. And we were locked down with the idea that we have to be airlifted somewhere for riot patrol. We never did have to move though. But the 60s were just watershed years, very tumultuous, and which then brings us into the early 1970s and a railroad bridge crossing the Hudson River caught fire. And was no longer usable for the railroad. We're going to talk about that bridge when we come back here on Hudson Valley Focus Live on The Beacon.
Wake up informed. It's Hudson Valley Focus with Tom Seipas on the Beacon.
806 on Hudson Valley Focus on the Beacon. In studio with me, Bill Seppi. It's a name that you probably are not familiar with, but I'd like you to be familiar with that name, because there's a walkway over the Hudson that I think Bill Seppi managed to buy for a dollar when it was a falling. No, didn't even pay the dollar for it.
Well, when I didn't buy it. I mean, it was in the name of the organization.
I know,
but we never. I don't think money changed hands.
Yeah, but you had to bird dog that for a long time to trace who had the ownership of it.
We pretty well knew who had the ownership. We just couldn't do anything about it.
Right.
So we went ahead and started work, figuring with adverse possession we could use the law to have us get possession eventually.
Because the Coast Guard was, you know, stuff was falling off of the railroad bridge, and the Coast Guard was on somebody to take it down to do something with it.
Yeah. Even with us working on it, the old wooden sidewalk, those boards, planks,
mm-hmm.
were falling into the river, and I have one of them at home. It's a cedar wood that's really nice, weathered, but I mean not rotten or anything. I think what gave way was the nails that held it. The wind eventually blew the boards out, and the railroad was actually in the process of replacing the planks with steel grating, which we used when we got up there.
Right, right. I remember this would have been the fall of 1996, I believe. Nothing had been renovated yet at that point in time. And I went up there one day from the Highland side. It was late in the year. The steel was cold. It had been cold overnight. And, of course, once the sun would come up and start to heat the structure on one side versus another, it would creak and groan and take on a life of its own, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Actually, I went up there every day at daybreak, and one of the most amazing things I saw was a pair of osprey that were resting on the railing. And as I walked out on the bridge, they would hop. One would hop over the other all the way out. It was unreal.
So originally you wanted to see this become a walkway, but restored with all volunteer activities and you know, selling planks and t-shirts and all, but along the way it changed.
Well, yes. Another group took over, and rather than fight it, one of the things that went through my mind that was crucial, I think, was when Lincoln said that a house divided against itself cannot stand.
Right.
So I just backed away completely. And so what they ended up with is they're doing. And to me, it shows the folly of accepting taxpayer support and not keeping control of the project. And it's just a bare bones project. It's not, in other words, you walk through it and you're done.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing there to support people that are there for the view. The view is just a backdrop. So
they've got the structures on each end of it now, at least with facilities that people can use for, you know, bathroom facilities, etc.
So if you're out in the middle, you got to walk a half a mile to take a leak. Jesus,
yeah.
Who needs that?
So what do you have in mind? As an addition to it?
Well, what we want to do is basically everything that goes on at the walkway now, we want to continue.
Right.
All the events, all the stuff. But we want to add benches, the benches that are there now, there's a few benches there now, but those benches are for people sitting on looking at the walkway.
Uh-huh.
They look in.
Right.
We want benches where people would have a clear view of the landscape, both north and south, so they can study it, so they can absorb it. And bathrooms. That's the crucial thing. You know, they probably would be composting bathrooms.
Uh-huh.
Those two things would make a huge difference in the experience of the walkway. So that's what we're out for.
Who's we? Who's involved with this?
Oh, well, we're called Hudson Valley Highline.
Okay.
We have a website, hvhighline.org. We get email at hvhighline@gmail.com. We started out, I think there were seven of us, and now we're down to two that I know of. Yolanda Janssen is a local lawyer and civil engineer, and she has helped us tremendously. Mana Jo Green is another.
Oh, I know who Mana Jo is. She still with Scenic Hudson? Or she was with some organization.
Yeah, she's with Clearwater.
Clearwater.
And she's a legislator for Ulster County. She's been very, very helpful. Those are the only two people we have left. We've been working on this about 6 years.
Wow.
And we've met with politicians. We've met with civic leaders. We've met with the Parks Department. And crucially, we want to have a study done. And the Parks Department said no. And it turns out they said no because they're afraid whatever the study shows will cost them money to make happen.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to the public to try to get everybody to, you know, say that they want something different than what's there. They want some addition that makes it worthwhile to be there. So that's why we've set up the website and we take comments.
So hvhighline.org, hvhighline.org, and that's just, you know, no spaces in there. hvhighline.org.
Yes.
New perspective on the walkway, aimed to create inviting spaces that fully embrace the walkway's unique setting, includes thoughtfully designed seating areas with comfortable benches positioned to offer unobstructed views of the landscape, all while preserving current operations and activities of the walkway. We want to hear from you. Have you visited the walkway? If so, how often, etc.? And email us. All the links are right on there. Hudson Valley Highline, recognized not-for-profit organization, and donate personal bank check made payable to Hudson Valley Highland, Hudson Valley Highland Inc., and send to Hudson Valley Highline Inc., 85 Gifford Avenue, Apartment 1. So that's the fact that you're down on Gifford Avenue, Bill Seppi, is that's one of the ways that you got involved with this years ago, because it's in the shadow of the railroad trestles above there, and you kept looking at it and saying something's got to happen with this.
Well, I actually lived in a house down the street. I lived at 38 Gifford then.
Uh-huh.
And it was literally in my backyard.
Right.
And back then, Lucy, the lady lives across the street from me, was a big deal in getting the street organized. We had block parties, uh-huh. and things like that. And kids were out in the street a lot more. I mean, we're talking about the late, real late 80s, early 90s.
Sure. Pre-internet.
Pre-internet, yeah.
Pre-smartphone.
Pre-everybody's wired up, yeah. And so one day I said, well, why don't we make an area underneath the bridge to for the kids to play in? And then a couple of days later, you know, running around in my head, I said, why don't we put the adults on top of the bridge?
Hold that thought 1 second. We're going to get a quick sports break in here, and then we're going to come back and talk about putting the adults on top of the bridge. 8:17 on Hudson Valley Focus Live. Bill Seppi, one of the original founders of the Poughkeepsie and Highland Railroad Bridge Company?
Yes.
Yes. Back in a minute on the Beacon.
Now, back to Hudson Valley Focus with Tom Sipas on the Beacon.
8:22 on Hudson Valley Focus on the Beacon. Thanks to our friends at Atlas Star Copiers for sponsoring those quarter hour sports reports. Back from my conversation with Bill. So, Bill, Gifford Street in Poughkeepsie, off of Washington Street, kids playing in the street, and you thought, well, let's get the kids off the street and clean up the area and take the story from there, if you will.
Well, after I thought about it, with the kids, if they had a playground underneath the bridge, we could put the adults on the bridge,
right,
which at Washington Street is not that high.
Right.
And they could keep an eye on the kids. But then I thought, well, why, they could walk out and look at the river. Now, at the time, I enjoyed looking at the river either at Kale Rock Park or up at the Vanderbilt Mansion, going down to the river. So it seemed to make sense. And the big stumbling block with doing anything with the bridge was always liability insurance, this liability issue. And at the time, the Greenway was just starting, and they wanted to make a trail along the river. Mm-hmm. And any property owner that allowed the trail to go over their property, the Greenway would handle the liability insurance. And I thought, gosh, let's just make the trail go over the bridge. They'll handle the liability insurance, and there we go. So I called the Greenway, and they said, well, write it up. Okay, so I rented a typewriter from Handy Rental.
No.
And typed it up and sent it off and forgot about it. I thought, gee, there's the idea. They've got it. They can run with it. Well, a few months later, maybe 6 months or more, I hear about a guy that is taking the rails off the bridge. I'm trying to think what the deal was. He was taking the rails off the bridge. He had Coast Guard approval and Ulster County approvals to do that. And somehow I found out it was a fraud.
Ah.
That he really didn't own the bridge. He didn't have permission to be there. He was just trying to steal the railroad rails,
right,
which are very valuable scrap commodities.
Sure.
That's when I got busy again and pursued it further. And we ended up actually working on the bridge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I pretty much remember that back in then by the mid 90s when things were starting to come together. So is there any progress at all from the state of New York, or they just have stonewalled your idea of adding some amenities to the bridge?
Yeah, they figure they've got what they've got, and that's good enough. And unfortunately, that's not the way progress is made. And one of the things that goes through people's minds is the fact that most people don't think there is something better that could be done with a walkway, that it could be so much more than it is. So they're just sitting tight with it.
Well, of course, you remind me when you talk about that. You remind me of my friend Ed Lodi, architect.
Oh, yes.
And the proposal that he had about building residential facilities.
And a restaurant.
And a restaurant. And then he has his drawings and design to have instead of an elevator, to have the cable car from up on the walkway down to I forget what it's called now, but it was the ice house down there. Very, very creative ideas that Ed had.
Well, it's like a lot of ideas. Making them happen is the crucial part. And I'm real glad for our bureaucracy in a way, because it keeps us running smoothly.
Uh-huh.
On the other hand, getting the bureaucracy to change, as difficult as it is crucial to moving forward. The crux of any movement forward is to make it happen in such a way that all the parts still work together.
Right.
That we don't have chaos, and that we're prepared for any emergency that happens, any crisis that happens, while we're doing the forward movement.
Right, right. Yeah. So hvhighline.org, hvhighline.org, where people can, and the email address that you gave us before is right on there. If folks want to learn more to do that, if they did want to make a donation, all that information is right on here as well. So, it's going to be interesting to, I'm glad you got a hold of me and to see how this goes. But I want to, again, publicly thank you for starting this process all those years ago. I've long held the belief that were it not for your, determination, the project may not have happened.
Yes, that's the one thought that keeps me consoled, is the fact that if we hadn't done what we did, we had several hundred feet of good planking on the bridge. We had weekend tours. We had an organization of several hundred people. We had 150 volunteers. It was a full-fledged organization that they took over.
Sure.
So, yeah, if we hadn't done that, they wouldn't have had anything to deal with.
Yeah, and there was, at that point in time, there was growing pressure, I think particularly from the Coast Guard or the Army Corps of Engineers, to remove that structure.
Yes.
And the momentum was building in that direction for sure. Well, Bill Seppi, we're out of time this morning. It's great to see you. Take a little trip down memory lane. And,
thank you, Tom.
Thank you for your initiatives. It is 8:30 on Hudson Valley Focus Live. Get our news, traffic, and weather updates, 845-831-1147, 845-831-1147. Take a quick break, and then we'll be back here to continue with the other news and events of the day on this second day of September. Quick reminder again, schools are going back in session. Watch out for those school buses and the kids out on the roadways.